Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast and your week in sports cars. Do we used to have jingles, Graham Goodwin. Do we need more jingles or should I sing?
Jingles are good. One should just say that sports cars are the only cars and the best cars. Something like that, along those lines. So if anybody's out there, there's a budding songwriter, feel free to compose one of those for literally no money whatsoever.
Yes.
That seems to be the thing in the world of entertainment now, doesn't it?
We can load you up with stickers, of which we have many. But yes, this is indeed the week in sports cars, which we try not to make a misnomer because we aren't always able to do this every single week based on travel schedules and whatnot. But indeed, even though it's a couple days later than we like to try and do it on a Tuesday or Wednesday, we are indeed recording. It is 12:12 according to my clock, which I think is slow. Ooh. I think it's more like 12:15 on a Friday in Northern California on April 5th. And we're going to pause for a moment to let the fine folks who make the show possible be represented and spoke upon and handed their flowers. Time to say a big thank you to our show partners on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, starting with FAF Technologies, build-to-print composites manufacturing company. They're specializing in medium to large-scale automotive, motorsports, and military applications. Visit FAFTechnologies.com. It's P-F-A-F-F Technologies.com to learn more about their services and how they can benefit your business. Next, it's the Justice Brothers, makers of premium additives, lubricants, and cleaners, and servicing the automotive and motorsports industries for more than 85 years, with victories in all the biggest North American motor races, including the Indianapolis 500, the 24 Hours of Daytona. The Justice Brothers products are truly race-proven. Learn about their vast history and range of offerings at justicebrothers.com. If you're fond of awesome motor racing collectibles, including FAF Motorsports McLaren gear and goodies, pay a visit to torontomotorsports.com. And finally, we have a new online merchandise home for the podcast, thepruittstore.com, for all the show stickers, models, racing memorabilia I'm trying to sell and put towards our fund to buy a house is now live and rocking. ThePruittStore.com. And since, Graham Goodwin, I am indeed based in Northern California, although it's only an hour drive, but I'm not going, so I don't know what that says about me. It says it just came off of like three race weekends in a row and going to have a crazy busy rest of the year. But our friends at SRO Americas are at one of my two home tracks. And this is like legitimately my homiest of home tracks. Once upon a time, known as Golden State Speedway, I think. Better known as Sears Point. And then I believe it was in the year 2000 or 2001, was renamed as Infineon Raceway.
I remember that. Yes.
Right. Infineon had gotten big into the sport. They sponsored Audis and the American Le Mans series and they had some other involvement. And then they went away. And then it just it just became Sonoma Raceway. So a track of many names in the delightful Sonoma Napa area hills. It is incredibly green and beautiful right now. We've had a lot of rain this week, Graham. Mentioning all these things, both location and the weather and the time, because our friends at SRO Americas are indeed at Sonoma Raceway for their season opener, and there's at least one major factor trying to keep them from opening. Can you share some insights as to what's going on here? Because I know you've been in communication with at least one driver to get a feel for what's happening.
Well, we've got RJ O'Connell actually on site this weekend. With thanks to Greg Gill and his team. But it's not been a happy start.
Yeah.
And did get a call, a couple of calls, in fact, from some of the drivers on site, including one from your friend of mine, Ryan Eversley, who's going to be in a pretty high-profile GT4 program this year and looking forward to that. But unfortunately, that's all been rather delayed. We're waiting for the latest update from Sonoma today with track surface breaking up. And it's never in a good way, but certainly the pictures that I've seen, I think you've seen, doesn't tell a very happy story, does it? The tarmac top layer of the track peeling away in really, really quite large chunks. And bear in mind, this is with touring cars and low-power GT cars, not the GT3 cars. It was breaking up before. I think most of the GT3 cars saw track action. So that does not bear does not bear well for a circuit that sees significantly greater loads to come. And that sounds to me, MP, to be something that's going to be a very expensive fix.
Yeah, and the track owned by SMI Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, known by and large for their ownership of and building of NASCAR tracks. And again, mm-hmm. not that every track that they own or have made is limited to NASCAR only, but by and large, most of SMI's facilities are indeed connected to NASCAR events in some way, Sonoma being one of them, one of the limited number of road course races held each year. But they did indeed spend a good wedge of money during the off season. This being, I think, right after the Velocity Invitational event in November that I was fortunate to attend, with a lot of the McLaren Formula One cars there and a bunch of other great things. Soon as that was over in whenever that was, Graham, mid-ish November, they jumped straight yep. into a full track repaving. And I possess no knowledge to give any insights as to why it might be breaking up, but can only say that we have had, thankfully, a slightly wetter winter than we've had in recent years. And so I don't know if the rains have conspired against proper curing. I don't pretend to know any of the reasons why. I can just tell you, at least locally, we in the last couple of winters were largely dry. Just this past one, not so much. So not saying that's the reason, just sharing that there has been a slight difference in what the overall Bay Area weather has been. But it's one thing, brother, for a smaller to medium-sized championship like the SRO Americas to have a mid-season problem. Hey, we went to one of yep. our whichever tracks, and there's delays, and if you have to postpone the event or cancel it, at least you have some events in the books to rely on, where my heart goes out to the aforementioned, the just truly great human being that is Greg Gill, who runs the organization, and his entire staff. Oh boy, race one. It just is a killer. So again,
it's a heartbreaker. It's a heartbreaker. And I think the first thing Friday. To say, by the way,
no, I was just going to close and say it's midday Friday, brother. Sure. They should be well busy, and they're having to determine if solutions are possible or if indeed they will need to call off the rest of the event. And they obviously have other events to do, other things to get ready for here. So afterwards, so it's just, you cannot ask for a worse situation for a championship like theirs, which is not a big commercial one, Graham, right? It's not a, we've got big primetime TV on a major, major network, and we have, right, and all kinds of huge factory efforts. This is, they've changed their business model years ago to where they're, by and large, customer-type driven, independent teams and drivers and such. It is very much of a, the paddock makes us possible, not huge investment from manufacturers and TV contracts. So when you have something like this strike at the first race, you have a lot of men and women, gentlewoman, gentleman drivers, and the pros as well, who have to go back to work on Monday somewhere or do other things. They're not primarily full-time race car drivers who would just be disappointed that they didn't get to race. This is a paddock that pays in order to be there for the most part, invests heavily. And so again, compare, if this were IMSA, WEC, or whomever else, it'd still be bad. But at least we would know the ecosphere that they live within would not be jeopardized. When you have something here where the folks driving the cars are largely paying for those cars and teams to be there, and through no fault of their team, no fault of the sanctioning body, Graham, they're unable to compete and do the thing they're paying to do, it's just an entirely different issue to consider.
It is. It's a heartbreaker, you know, when everything's come together. They've got reasonable grids in most of the kind of races and classes that are competing at Sonoma. At the moment, they had, I think, one or two-thirds of the first test day before they gave best to the conditions. Second test day effectively cancelled. So we wait to hear from the track as to what's going to be possible over this weekend. And beyond that, what the circuit themselves are going to do about the prevailing problem. Because what we don't know is whether or not any fix that does get in is a lasting fix, or whether or not it's a make-do amend for one weekend. Either way, this has got all the look and feel of something rather expensive. Not helped, it has to be said, by something of a social media spat MP that I noticed.
Come on, y'all. Yeah. So however it was raised, I think the photo I saw might have been attributed, or the post might have been attributed to
Corey Lewis.
Corey Lewis with a photo of the big divot entering turn 11 at Sears Point / Sonoma Raceway. That being picked up upon, that being something where NASCAR race winner, team owner, front runner Denny Hamlin and Marcus Smith, who happens to be the president of SMI or head of SMI, got into, how's this? I haven't gotten into many of these. Legitimately, I haven't. But I can tell you, whenever I've gotten into whatever kind of social media spat, they never end well. For either person, even if there's a clear winner, it's still a, you did what on social media? Okay, you're 5 years
well.
Old.
I've done it. It makes you feel you've sold yourself afterwards.
Just cheap.
Frankly.
Just like, yeah, I gotta know better. And granted, yeah. And I'm not saying I'll never get in one again. I might again. I try not. How's this? And I'm probably just saying a really obvious truth. I can't tell you how many responses I have made or original posts I've written that have then had me hold my finger on the delete button and watch the cursor scrub each letter off until it is blank. And then I might write something else. Okay, let me hit the delete button. All right, let's get rid of those letters. And sometimes that's the therapy, right? And again, I know I'm not the only one, but it's like, oh, that person decided to go at me about a thing, or that person decided to say something too stupid for me to let go. I must respond because I feel whatever importance about myself. And then I try to go, no, first of all, you're as big of an idiot, if not a bigger one, than the person you want to respond to. Yeah, they might have just said whatever snarky, mean thing to you. Does it really matter? Like, think about this. How many people in the world don't have a smartphone? How many people in the world don't have a computer or internet connections? Think even better. This is what I legitimately think of. And by the way, if this is your first time listening to the Week in Sports Cars, rants are part of the free admission. I look at our pets. I even look at just animals we might come across out in the wild, right? Hey, there's a little squirrel running up a tree, whatever. There's a bird flying. They have no awareness of social media. They don't care. They place no value in it. They lead their lives. Now, granted, you know, I'm staring at our cat Rocky, who is in the office, sitting on the table, staring out the window, fixed on something. I don't know what it is, if it's something he wish he could go kill and eat, or what's mesmerizing him. And I'm not saying that that's maybe a more engaging existence than somehow getting Rocky onto social media. But like, I just think of those who live their lives without knowledge of it, or even just the other creatures on the planet who don't know a thing about it, don't care. Granted, many of them are the subjects. Probably 90% of social media are like funny cat, dog, bear, and whatever videos. But they live really cool lives where they do things that are fulfilling and enriching and majestic at times, Graham. And guess what? They've never sent a tweet. They've never gotten into a spat. They don't know any of the hashtags. So it's like, okay, hey, whatever thing you guys just did on social media there, Denny Hamlin and Marcus Smith, like, okay, you got some stories posted about it, and that produced some clickety clicks. And guess what happened afterwards? Absolutely nothing. The world went back. So again, I'm totally hypocritical.
The lesson here is quite simple. If you are the CEO of a major motorsport events company, trust us, you're going to have a very much more fulfilling life staring out the window at a squirrel than having a go at Dennis Hamlin. That's the lesson. That's what we want you to take forward from this edition of the Week in Sportscast. By the way, meantime, fantastic news from the FI World Endurance Championship.
But not as fantastic as the note to close that. I don't know what episode this is going to be. Is it 1505? Just bookmark this. Because I can guarantee you at some point in time, someone is going to need to throw this back in my face. Say, hey, jackass, didn't you waste 5 minutes of our lives talking about don't do this stuff and you just did it? Well, here's your episode. And here's you calling out your future self for doing it. So, just saying.
Hashtag.
Hashtag. Pruitt's a moron, but we already knew that. Tell us the fantastic news.
Well, fantastic news is, well, up until midweek, barely any change from round one of the FR1 Endurance Championship in Qatar or the entry list to round two.
No additional penalties or revisions to finishing orders this week?
We did have that. I think we did cover that one up there. It's all done now. So it's all done. So
no more. Okay. I'm just making sure.
No more. It's always a possibility. Just the Cadillac disqualification. And Vista, of course, are pretending that three of their engineers were marketing personnel. Other than that, it's all fine, okay?
But that is amazing. That is amazing, because if you think about it, beyond the rules and regulations, if they really played that all the way to the end, they probably just saved themselves like $150,000 in salary.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're paying folks marketing rate instead of engineer salary, I'm just saying that might be the new trick. You sign folks and hope they don't read the small print that says, by the way, we might reclassify you at some races to skirt a certain rule, but also we're going to pay you a lot less when we do that. That might be the way to save money too.
I've been in marketing meetings with engineers. It doesn't end well. It just doesn't. But what the only major change, by the way, in the entry list, forget the kind of the end results. And if you're not sure what happened at the end of the Qatar race, not a lot other than Peugeot messing up somewhat, but something did happen almost a month later. But two changes. One is that Cadillac, the number two car, will race with just two drivers, no French fry this time. So it will just be Earl Bamber and Alex Lynn aboard that car.
Because
the other change, will we get?
Just tell folks why. That's because we have a conflict the weekend of Long. What for me is Long Beach IMSA and IndyCar is a weckety weck round for you. So therefore, no sending
Imola. Yeah. First time going to Imola.
No sending French fry. But also related, no Arrow McLaren being able to hold on to one Callum Ilott from the good old Hertzy Jota E team. So Callum will not. Won't be able to deputize for Aaron McLaren on the IndyCar side. So that means he will be over playing with you. So, yeah.
So to the moment, you know, yay us for the FI World Endurance Championship. There is going to be, I'm 99.9% certain, another change. And this is for a rather sadder reason. And that's because Ferdy Habsburg from the Alpine Endurance squad, pretty badly hurt. It was good to see him with a Instagram reel today, basically in the metal supporting frame for his spine. He's got two cracked vertebrae, two fractured vertebrae as a result of a substantial shunt in testing for the team earlier this week.
Alpine hypercar team.
No cause actually given. Either by team or by Ferdy. I'll say just this. I've done a little bit of sniffing around, and I can tell you right now, I'm 100% certain that incident was not Ferdinand's fault. So get well soon, my friend. He is a very popular member of the paddock. He's just a delight to be around. The interest here, MP, is are they going to be able to call upon the nominated reserve, which won Jules Gounon?
Yeah.
Now, Jules has a clash with GT World Challenge Asia, but that is for Mercedes-AMG. And that, of course, is his primary employer. Now, it may very well be that that has to take precedence. If they don't call upon Jules Gounon, do they call upon a reserve, or do they, as Cadillac is doing, go with just two drivers for the six-hour race? That's going to be quite an interesting one. So first things first, get well soon, heal well, Ferdy Habsburg. A fracture of two vertebrae, that is weeks and weeks. Now, for me, with 2 weeks to go before Imola, just about zero chance we're going to see him there. He will, of course, miss the European Le Mans Series opener. That is next weekend in Barcelona. He's already been announced as being replaced, oddly enough, by one of his Alpine teammates, Paul-Luc Chatin, for that race in a cool racing Orica. But, you know, it's now a matter of a race to get Ferdy fit for Le Mans. We do have, of course, the Spa WC race in between, but it is a matter of whether or not that heals well enough. So if you're listening to this, Ferdy, those fabulous medical personnel, the doctors and the therapists that will be now involving themselves with your immediate future, listen to them. Heal well, my friend, and come back to us quickly, because that's a nasty injury for anybody, nasty and painful. That's what we've got, really. There's not a lot really more to say for the FIA World Endurance Championship, apart from the fact that one of our double world champions is in action this weekend, not once, but twice, in a really interesting opening doubleheader weekend, MP, at the Nürburgring. Now, if you're not up to speed with what's going on at the Nürburgring this year,
I think we need to give folks the 60-second explainer, because there's some amazing drivers / team activities going on. There's always.
Oh, yeah.
But this year in particular, there's a couple of cool new levels. But I think we need to spell out that if you have an awareness of the Nürburgring 24, well, there's more to learn about.
Absolutely staggering stuff. So generally speaking, Nürburgring on the Nordschleife, the epic, massive, the largest full-time race circuit in the world, has had for many, many years a race series, something like 10 races a year under a thing called the VLN. Won't tell you what it stands for. VLN is three large words, one of which is Nürburgring in German. Most words in German are large. That's more recently been known as the NLS, which is effectively the Nürburgring Long Distance Series. Think about it in those terms. Each round of which is organized by a local or regional motor club. Nürburgring itself has changed hands a couple of times. It's now in the hands of a company owned by a Russian consortium. And involved in that, there's been a bit of a power struggle around who is going to have the rights to run what on that real estate. And as we all know, that always ends really well, doesn't it? So what we've got here, and lots of machinations here, but to cut to the chase, we now have two competing championships, effectively with close to the same product and certainly on the same real estate. It's been in and out of court. And what we're now at is the Nürburgring Endurance Series, a new new series coming forward, trying to establish themselves with, from memory, I think it's five racing weekends, and the same with the NLS, with five racing weekends, the first of which is this weekend, the first NES race meeting a couple of weekends ago, and we'll talk about that in a moment. It's a hot mess, MP. Massive bad feeling with the teams, with the people that run the championships, but most particularly with the volunteers and the professionals that without which these races can't happen. And it has become a bit of a battlefield. NES were supposed to have their opening double. Those two races were reeled back to just be on the Grand Prix circuit, not the main Nordschleife, and they had to be cancelled principally because the NES has not attracted the entries, but in addition, neither is it getting the support of the marshalling community, which means it's impossible to run a race on the Nordschleife or any circuit if you don't have sufficient safety trained staff to do so. Put that aside, NLS underway this weekend, 117 cars for Saturday's race, 107 cars listed for Sunday's race. And traditionally, this is where we start to see the shape of the core of the grid, not necessarily the GT3 core of the grid that will form later this year for the Nürburgring 24 Hours. I'm going to let you talk about one of your panels that's going to be involved in this for one thing. You often look way further down the order because that's where you see some interesting names preparing to race on the Nürburgring. Doesn't matter who you are, whether or not you're somebody just coming into a little bit of money and able to go racing and choose where you do it, or whether or not you are an ex-Formula One star, you have to earn a ring permit. There's a variety of practical and written tests you have to do to be allowed to race on this extraordinary circuit. It is properly old school and therefore dangerous. And the name that popped out here, Kamui Kobayashi. So Toyota Gazoo Racing's team principal, together with three Toyota retained Super GT and in two cases Super Formula racers, racing a pair of GT4 cars and therefore preparing for their ring permit. Question, why are they doing that? What is the plan here? We know in 2026 there is going to be a new, sorry, it's going to be a new GT3 car for Lexus. Is this part and parcel a preparation for a full-scale Toyota Gazoo Racing assault on the Nürburgring 24 Hours in a year or more's time? We'll wait and see what emerges from the race and for the broadcast this weekend, but they're going to have 2 4-hour races, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, to find out exactly what they're going on. Not much more than that, my friend, this week, unless you've got anything else to chuck into the mix, but I can tell you that next week...
Well, I got one more, but go for it.
Okay, I'm going to tell you next week, I, together with Stephen Kilby, will be spending our entire week in Barcelona for the opening weekend of the European Le Mans Series and their prologue test. And yet again, and this has been the case all the way through sports car racing this year, we've got the first race weekend this weekend as well for the GT World Challenge Europe. 55 cars for that, 50 cars in the GT4 support series, record grid in the GT2 series. We've got full grids in both the European Le Mans Series and the Michelin Le Mans Cup this year as well. So all of that to come, and it'll be myself and Johnny Palmer cornering those races once more this year. But what have you got to finish us up before I say goodbye?
Well, I thought you were saying you and Stephen Kilby were going to Spain for the International Mankini competition. I know you guys have been tanning yourselves obviously, and shaving and just getting ready for stepping out in your Speedos and your little Mankini stuff. But
oiling up.
All right, for oiling up, the Graham Goodwin story coming to a garbage can near you. Hey, you do this to me every now and then, so I'm going to do it to you. So we open the show. I open the show. Graham closes the show. That's been what we've done for many years now. And in the opening of this particular episode, I included a somewhat frequently used apology for not being as regular. And I don't mean because I'm not eating enough fiber or bran, but the show not being as regular as the name of the show would imply, that being the week in sports cars. So sometimes we do miss weeks. Sometimes we publish a little later than desired. Just wanted to share that, as Graham has done many times in recent years, where things on the home front for me have just had to take priority and we've had to skip an episode, or travel has been a bit of a bear. Next week, for example, I leave out Tuesday morning. I get home Thursday night. So we'll do our best, but that tends to be right around the heart of when we try to record the show. So again, we'll have to see what we can do next week. But separate from that, and knowing that Graham's been so kind in mentioning that there have been times where home front, home life, priorities at home with my wife have had to step in front of being able to do the show. Just wanted to say I greatly appreciate you, Mr. Goodwin, for being here, being ever ready to the best of your ability, knowing that and we're not going to go into details, but you have been going through some very, very challenging things on the home front recently. And as you've done for me, which is giving me the space I need, where again, if we miss a show or if last minute we need to ask our great friend, Stephen Kilby, to deputize in my absence, just want to say greatly appreciate you knowing that been needing to give you some space to handle some things on the home front, which will remain private as they're meant to be. But you so often kindly speak to the graces you extend to me, and just need to make sure folks know that greatly appreciate you, because on rare occasion, you need some of that grace as well to take care of matters that are certainly more important than a silly little podcast. So it's just handing you your flowers, brother.
And I thank you. And I thank you for that. And for those of you that will be shocked and horrified by the fact that it's real life, I should will tell you for straight up now that Trudy has just handed by my dinner on a tray here, and it's not buried underneath the patio at the back of the house. So don't worry about that. We are fine. But you're absolutely right. As every family out there, you know, has their challenges. We're here for you. We're here for everybody in that situation. But for now, and with thanks to my good buddy, and we will see you very soon, we're going to say good evening, good night from here in the UK, from this edition of the Week in Sportscast, with thanks again to our friends at Faf Technologies, the Justice Brothers, and TorontoMotorsports.com. He has, as always, been Marshall Pruitt. Usually Graham Goodwin. This has been the Week in Sportscast, part of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast
collection. Rocky's head just turned. Our podcast. Cat's head turned. Hey, buddy, we're recording a podcast. Excellent. You're in.